That's good. Well, today you guys are in for a treat. Today, as I shared last week, and probably for the next couple of weeks, we're going to try and have some different folks sharing a little snippet. And I thought, what would be more exciting than to have a Peterson throwdown? So we've got, this is officially the Peterson preach-off. You know, some people do dance-off, some people do shoot-off. They're doing a preach-off today. So they're going to share with you a little bit about what the Lord has put on their hearts. And I've asked them to share, and they all graciously said yes. And I think it'll be a fun opportunity for us to hear from them. And again, as I shared last week, as we kick off this series, that my big idea for this is that, you know, we've got a lot of, all of you have different stories. God's speaking different things in your life. And so this is a great opportunity for just us to hear from some of our other members of our congregation, of our body, to hear what God's doing in their life. And my challenge and encouragement to you is that very often what I believe the Lord would put on their hearts to share is not just for them, but it's for us as well. And so as they're sharing, I would encourage you to take notes, ask the Lord, God, what would you speak to me about today? In fact, can we just open our time before we turn over the mic? Now, each of them are going to have some time. I'll give you the ground rules in a second, but there's a ring that's going to be erected here. No, I'm just kidding. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We're so grateful to be gathered together in your house. And Lord, summertime is such a beautiful time for us here in Southern California. And we just give you thanks for the season. And this morning, as we come together, as we open up your word, and as our brothers and sisters share the word this morning, we pray that you'd speak through them, that you'd use them as your mouthpieces to speak to our hearts. And God, we believe that your word is living, it's active, it's able to penetrate even to the division of soul and spirit. It's able to discern even our own heart's intentions. And so, Lord, today I pray that as our brothers and sisters share the word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd reveal yourself to us in a new way, that you'd encourage us, that you'd fill us up with your spirit, that you'd give us everything we need for the week ahead. And God, we just pray that you'd bless them and bless this time. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So I'll give you a little ground rule. So each of them is going to have 7 minutes. They're going to share three speakers, 7 minutes each. And so there is going to be a countdown timer for them. So we want to encourage them to share the word. But if they go over, I think there's one that might go over where she was trying to debate with her husband whether she could get some minutes from him. But I told them, no, that's not acceptable. That's out of the rules. But first up, we're going to actually have Mr. Luke Peterson share. Would you give Luke a big round of applause? Say, what up, Luke? Good.
Is this on? Is it on? All right.
So, yeah, good morning. Good morning, church. Brian asked us to come out, and Pastor Brian asked us to come and do our favorite verse and come and talk to you guys about that. And I thought it was a great opportunity, and and I thought, yeah, this is great. And so you kind of get played the rules, did the 7 minutes. We're going to have 7 minutes. And I'm kind of a numbers guy, so I start doing the math. 7 minutes times seven times seven, that's 21. A couple minutes to introduce, it's 25. So I'm like, this is going to be a short service, you know. And then I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. He's doing it for the Sunday school teachers because they're out there watching all my kids. So they was trying to shorten it up a little bit. So, well, I'm going to make it a lot shorter. I'm going to shorten mine up more so we get those, help those Sunday school teachers. Yeah, exactly. But then my kids wanted to come in today, so I didn't know. This is great. So we went over, what's my favorite verse? What anybody's favorite verse is? It's kind of interesting. I don't really have a favorite verse. And then I said, on the screen, said, what was for 2018? I think this is more of what is it, the season you're in, kind of like what we talked about being on 2018, what's your favorite verse? So it's kind of been the last couple years, I would say maybe 4 or 5 years, that I've been kind of dealing with this. And it really happened because of my wife, Sarah. We homeschool our kids. She has a library of books that she reads to the kids, and it's based on what curriculum they're going through. And so we were going through some Bible curriculum, and it was based on Warriors. I called it Warriors of Faith. She had another name for it, but I called it Warriors of Faith. And she read all these different biographies from different people, people like Corrie Ten Boom and Gladys Allward. I think Allward, George Mueller, Nate Saint, and a bunch of different more. But she would read it. She would read it to the kids usually every night, or sometimes I'd read it every once in a while. But she would read it to the kids, and either I'd be in the other room listening, or I'd be in the same room listening, and it was kind of where we were at. We were kind of growing in that season of faith. We were trying to see that. So this is kind of what verses kind of came to me during this season, what they we were dealing with. So these warriors of the faith, we'll call them, great people that ran the race well, I would say, you know. I'm into sports a lot, so I reference a lot of things with competition and battle and that type of stuff. So these warriors of the faith, they ran the race well. So I want myself, of course, to run the race well, and my family to run the race well, and of course our church to run the race well too. So these are the things that I've God's been putting upon my heart. So I wanted to share it to you. So we're going to be in Hebrews 11. Mostly all bouncing around all through there. I only told Brian a couple verses that I was going to do there, but I'm going to do a couple more. But it's all Hebrews 11, so I'm going to stay there. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, I'm going to read first. It said, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible." So, and Rick, our guitarist, actually was talking to me a little bit about faith. I was mentioning we were talking, and he brought up the word faith, and I said, "That's funny. That's what I'm talking about." I said, the way he was able to talk about faith was the word trust. Faith is a hard word to understand sometimes, but trust is an easy one for us to understand. And I said, "Rick, that's exactly what's. It's funny. That's what's in my notes. You know, it's that trust." That we're talking about here. So those warriors of the faith that we read about, great biographies, I'd recommend it to anybody. It's pretty much people that we live in the Bible. We see the Bible. We see warriors of the faith in the Bible. We see David. We see Daniel. We're going to read about a couple more in here. We see Ruth and Esther. We see all these different warriors of the faith here. But these are actual people, biographies that are in our, I wouldn't say our generation, but in our era, pretty much, we'll say. We're saying our timelines. We've seen the effects of what these people have done. And great, great warriors of the faith lived out what the Bible was talking about. So we're going to go over to 11:4 is talking about Abel. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. My reason for bringing this up is I want my faith to grow. I want my wife and kids' faith to grow. You know, we see the pinnacle. We see the pinnacle and examples of warriors of the faith. We see their examples of the miracles that were worked through them, and we go, man, I can never be that way. But it didn't start that way. It started with warriors of the faith growing their faith is what it did. And it talks about just little small things that they were able to do as they were young, as they were being trained up in the ways of the Lord. Even some of them not, you know, coming from different backgrounds of possibly not having Christ in their lives early. But it grows. It only takes tomorrow, it takes today. It takes next week. It takes small ways of growing your faith. So for Abel's way of growing or having faith was his offering. So it talks about in 11:4 there how his offering was righteous to the Lord. What we read quick to Noah is on 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that comes by faith. So for Noah, it was holy fear. So Noah had an awe for the Almighty God. So I want to harvest that in my life. I want that to be in my life, in my wife and kids' lives, and our church's life. And then we had Abraham. To me, Abraham was one of the most amazing. You know, he's willing to. He had to wait for his son for so many years, and then he was able to even sacrifice his son, willing to do that for God, you know. And to me, that's unbelievable, right? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made a home, his home in his promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. So for Abraham, he was able to be a warrior for faith by obeying God. So that's, of course, one thing, the things we're always trying to do. And how do we know, how do we know what to obey what God is? In of course, it's in prayer or his word, being led by the Holy Spirit. God's word spells out how to us to obey. God's Holy Spirit is in us. Us being in prayer is constantly ways we can find out how to obey. So, and I don't know, is the time up there?
You're 40 seconds over, actually, Luke.
Really? All right, so I thought I didn't time mine out. Of course, my wife did. But I thought I'd be a lot shorter. So, but my main point is what the season my family and I have been going through, or I've been going through, is growing that faith. And challenging the church is what I would say would be next. You know, I want to challenge my family and then challenge you guys to grow your faith. And it's those daily things of obeying, being in awe of God, and of holy fear of God, obeying God, being courageous, you know, putting yourself at risk, being a risk of faith. Is that the time? End it over, okay? And that was about it. So that's all I had to do. All
right. That's good. Let's give Luke a round of applause. Lord, would you give us a faith that speaks loudly like Abel's faith did? Let's give it up for Miss Taylor Peterson. She's going to bring the word.
Guys, this is truth, and you better believe it. Let's just start off, because I'm pretty sure he took like a two-minute intro before introducing his verse. My verse that I'm going to be going over today is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:27, and let me read that to you. If you have your Bibles, you can read it yourself. I'm reading from the ESV version. It might be a little different. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame what is wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Guys, how many of you, if you were like in charge of a battle or whatever, you know, like, there was a war going on and you were the guy in charge, how many of you would send the weakest person out to go fight this like super strong guy? How many of you guys? I mean, like, if I was in charge of the battle, I'm super into statistics, I'm into strategy and whatever. Heck, I'm probably not gonna send out the 14-year-old kid to go fight the guy who's been battling all his life, and oh, hey, wait, he's 9 feet tall as well. But that's what God did. God sent out the weakest among them. And it says in this verse, my favorite thing, his thing wasn't to like, God sent out the weakest among them to shame the strong. God mocks the devil. He mocks the devil by using the weakest people to defeat him. Like, how cool is that? We also have, besides David, the story I was referring to, David and Goliath, weakest person among them. God uses him to claim victory. If you have the story of Gideon, that I believe is in, yeah, I know, because this is truth. That story of Gideon, when he goes, like this guy, Gideon, in the book of Judges, chapter 6-8, talks about this guy Gideon, who is of the smallest clan, of the most least important family, and this guy is the weakest one out of them all. God calls him to do battle against, I believe it was the Philistines? Pretty sure. I might be wrong. But he does battle, okay? And all, like, God uses that weakness in order to claim victory. And it also mentions foolishness in 1 Corinthians. God uses foolishness to shame the wise. Does anyone remember Balaam? The guy that was supposed to go and curse the Israelites? And when he's going over there, God uses something really foolish. He uses a donkey to tell him, no, just don't. He uses a donkey. That's like weakness and foolishness. God loves to use that in order to mock the devil. And I know some of you guys in here are men, and it scares you when you look at this verse and you think, is he talking about me? I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be weak. Some of you guys, I'm a girl, and I don't want to be weak. But you can understand, you are a sinner. your heart is so dirty on your own. There is no way that you could possibly drag yourself out of this pit of sin and death and destruction. All the evil that this world is, you were born with that. You were born with that weakness and that need in you. You were born a broken person, and there's no way in the world that you could fix that yourself. Now, I think I have a picture. I have a picture to show of a pot, if we can bring that up. I'm not going to pronounce this name because it's Japanese, I believe. Yeah, I think it's Japanese. But this is an art form. We have a pot here, which in many places in the Bible, we reference pots, okay? And this pot was obviously broken. You see the cracks in it. But can any of you, like, just tell me what is put in those cracks? Gold. We were born broken people. God created this world. He created this world perfect. He's the potter. We are the clay. He created a perfect pot, but we messed it up. We screwed up like way, way, way long ago, and we can't fix that. We're just a pot. We can't fix ourselves. It's not like we are the ones with the super glue and the hands to do that, but God can. God can use what is broken. God can use what is broken. Hey, where'd my picture go? I still want that picture up. We're not done with that yet. But God can use what is broken, that broken pot that's just been shattered and thrown on the floor, useless, unworthy of being put in the house of a king, unworthy of being used by God. You have this pot, and it's broken. You're broken. But God still wants to use you. God wants to take that weakness in you and to turn it into strength. He wants to turn it into something beautiful, gold. He wants to refine us and to change us and to make us useful to him. And he can do that. He is God. You cannot. You are a human. You are broken. And you're unworthy. But God looks at you and he sees something he wants. He sees you as a child that he loves and adores. And this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses you as a broken person. He doesn't choose you as someone who's capable. He chooses you as someone who's incapable. And he comes inside of your life and he changes you to make you something beautiful. And it's not by our strength. It is definitely not by David's strength that he was able to take down that giant. It was definitely not Gideon's strength to take a group of 300 men and go fight thousands of Philistines. It was not by that strength of itself that a donkey was able to talk, okay? It's by God's strength, not our own strength. So not our own strength, but by God's strength. By his power alone, we have this amazing life.
Amen. Wow. Right to the time.
I have an extra 5 seconds.
No, Luke took those seconds away. Sorry.
Okay, don't start my timer yet. Okay. Be really quick. Okay. So at the beginning of this year, the Lord really impressed upon my heart these two passages. One of them, actually, he impressed upon my heart when my grandmother was dying about 5 or 6 years ago, that we read to her as she was getting ready to pass, and it just resurfaced this year. So my two verses actually come from Psalm 27 and Psalm 84. So it's an invitation, really. Psalm 27 is an invitation, and Psalm 84 is a journey. So let me just break that up for you really quick. In the beginning, in Psalm 27, in verse 3, it starts out with David. He's talking about being surrounded by an army and danger and just everything that comes with it. So, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. And it just really got me thinking. I'm like, well, would I be? Heck yeah, I would be terrified. Even a little bit today, you know, like I'm getting all nervous and everything. I'm like, you know what? And for this moment, it's a mighty army that's terrifying me. In daily life with whatever you're walking through, there's those giants, those things that terrify us. Well, how do we stand strong against that? So in the next verse, in verse 4, he says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating on his temple." Why is he not afraid? He's not afraid because he's meditating on the Lord and he's delighting in his presence. And so that really just, it convicted me. It brought me to the floor and said, are you? Am I, or am I just going through the motions? I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm doing all of the Christian things, I'm doing all the godly things, but am I really and truly delighting in the Lord and drawing near to him? And then this verse, I don't know if you were able to find a picture of something. Did you? Oh, yay, okay. This verse in verse 8, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, and my heart responds, Lord, I am coming." I asked Pastor Brian if he could find a picture of a child running to their father, because to me, this verse just says so much. Come and talk with me. It's an invitation. This is an invitation. God said, come and talk with me. And our heart needs to respond, Lord, I am coming. And that's what this verse said to me. I'm coming. And he's giving you the same invitation. Come and talk with me. And he wants you to respond, Lord, I'm coming. So just the two images of the child running and then the cross. So run to the cross. And then in Psalms 84, and I got to go really fast on this because I love this.
So
in verse 2, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. Again, just a deep longing to that invitation that he gives. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout with joyful, I will shout joyfully to the living God. So it's a longing. It's a longing for what's there. It's a longing for a relationship. This is about a pilgrimage to Zion, to Jerusalem. And the first part is seeing that far off. You get an invitation from your best friend, from your spouse that you haven't been able to spend time with for a while, from somebody long ago that you wish you could spend time with. It's that invitation to be with them, to be in a time of communion with them, just getting to know them more, that they want to know you and you want to know them more. So that first part is that looking towards it. And then we come down to verse 5. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage towards Jerusalem. Sorry, I butchered that word. In the ESV, it says, whose hearts are in the highways to Zion. And that is referencing a pilgrimage. And so I like to study the context, and I'm that kind of person. So I researched pilgrimage and what that means. And just the context of it, what the Jews would do, and they would take a pilgrimage yearly, I don't know how often, but they would go, and sorry, I'm jumping ahead because I'm not paying attention to my notes. Okay, so Pope Benedict XVI, I don't even know who he is, but I loved what he said about it. He said, it's a long journey to step out of ourselves in order to encounter God where he has revealed himself. So looking at our verse from 5-7, what is a pilgrimage? It's an act of devotion. You're choosing to go to something that you've been called to do. It's life transforming. You are going to be changed. You're going to meet with your maker to be changed. And it was a journey. It wasn't a vacation. You weren't just, you know, willy-nilly wandering around. You were determined to go. Every step of your path was determined. And what did it bring? It brought joy. It brought strength and refreshment and blessing, as it shows in verse 5-7. So a little bit of cultural background. I have a picture. Rabbi Benjamin Lau, he's an Orthodox Jew, and he discusses the activity of actually taking a journey. Actually, it's the other one. The other one. And he calls it a date. It's a meeting with your maker, where you would see him and be seen by him. And I absolutely loved that. So it's there, but it's not there. Okay. So Taylor just went to Israel, and so I stole one of her pictures. Look at that terrain. Does that look like something you'd want to travel along for a long time? It's rough. it's hard. It's like our life, right? We have this journey of our life that's very difficult. And so I just wanted to share that because it's not like the roads that we're on today. We're not familiar with this. So by the time they got to Jerusalem, they would be dirty. They would be covered in dust. They would be sweaty. It's much the same terrain and temperature as we have here, so it's hot. They would need a bath. So the first thing that they would do after coming into the city of David, into Zion, was to bathe. And they would bathe in these ritual pools. They had many of them. I guess they uncovered like 200 pools in Jerusalem alone, and 50 of them at the base of the Temple Mount, that they would progress through these bathing baths called mikveh, which they would use to purify themselves, and you would get in and you would get out, and it would represent cleanliness before you stood before the Holy God. Okay, so really quick, I know, sorry. So there was rules to these baths, right? So first thing, which I thought was really cool when I was researching this, the pools were filled with rain. So look down in verse 6, if you're looking at it, but it will become a place of refreshing spring. The autumn rains will clothe you with blessing. So I just thought that was kind of cool. And the second thing was that you wore nothing. Not my type of a public bath, but you wore nothing. And I kind of pondered that for a while, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, you're jumping in completely exposed to the Lord. And that's how he wants us to come, not holding anything back, just here I am, Lord. You want to talk with me? Here I am. Every part of me. As ugly as all of it is, I know I need a bath, I know I'm dirty, but every part of me. And then last part I just loved, it was you immerse yourself all at once. It wasn't, I mean, these baths were probably cold, I don't know. It wasn't like tiptoe, you just jump in. And I love that reference, you know, just jumping in, and that's what he's calling us to do. Not holding it back, just jumping in. So my two verses, my two main verses were, come and talk with me, and my heart has heard you say, and then just the pilgrimage and getting your mind on the pilgrimage. So God called me 6 months ago to really spend this season of my life diving into him in a deeper relationship, not just studying the word, but having a conversation with him and drawing near to him. And I believe that he's calling each of you to do the same. And he would say to you, come and talk with me. And you would respond, my heart is coming. I'm coming. I have no idea where I was.
Great job. Yeah, we took the timer away after a while because you were just on a roll. Can we really just thank these guys one more time with a big round of applause? You guys can have a seat, I guess, now at this point. I just wanted to kind of recap because I feel like the Lord was reminding me of a lot. I took a lot of notes, so thank you guys. I'm really, really surprised that Sarah stayed to her time and Luke went over. This is, I'm going to have to ponder what that means. What it means, I don't really know, but you know, the Lord does want to remind us that he wants us to have a faith. Like Luke, Shake, thank you for sharing that. That he wants us to have a faith that speaks, a faith that's louder than just our words, but a faith that's evidence. Like Abel's faith is still speaking. And I think that's beautiful. That we were born broken, Taylor shared with us. And God wants to restore us. He wants to redeem us. Where did Taylor go? Did she run away? Oh, she's behind me probably. Oh, there you are. You're hiding. Hi, Taylor. That God wants to restore us. He wants to use our life for something beautiful, for something with purpose. And I don't know about you, but I feel broken sometimes. There's days I feel broken. There's days I feel beaten up. There's days like the road that you showed a picture of. I feel like I've been down a hard and dirty road, and I'm just covered. And I love that visual, although I'm going to have to pray about what that looks like. But God invites us to come as we are, naked, without anything being held back from him. And though that practically presents some concerns in my mind, I think the implications for us before God are true, that we got to come completely uncovered. There's something beautiful about that. Would you just bow your heads with me? I want to respond to the Lord. And, you know, the word declares this, that when someone shares a word, we need to just ask the Lord, was that a word for me? Is that something you want to share with me? So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for our three brothers and sisters that have shared from your word today, that they prayed and sought you and really over this last season just said, Lord, what do you want to speak to me about? And Lord, I pray today that you would continue to speak. Lord, just as Luke shared, Lord, I pray that you would give us a sort of faith, that we would be warriors of the faith, that we would run the race well that you've set for our feet. And Lord, I thank you that that's a fruit that you're birthing out in Luke's life. And God, I pray that over each one of our lives today, that you would help us to run the race that you've set before us. God, that you would give us a faith that speaks loudly, louder than our words, louder than just something that we proclaim. But God, you would give us a faith like Abel's faith, a faith that will still be speaking long after we're gone. May we leave a legacy of faith as warriors of yours. And Lord, just as Taylor shared this morning, I pray that you would help us, God, to realize and recognize that even in our weakness, you want to use us. God, I pray for each one of us. Each one of us have broken pieces of our lives, areas where our lives have been shattered, where maybe our expectations have been broken. Maybe our circumstances have crushed us and broken us up. And Lord, I pray that just like that pot that we saw a picture of, Lord, that you would make us into something beautiful. Lord, that which was broken, that which was destined for the garbage heap, Lord, would be used for something much more beautiful than it ever could have been on its own. Lord, you do that in our lives. And so, Lord, if we're, for those that are here that are broken today, that have broken edges and broken pieces, Lord, would you help us to have the faith to draw near to you, to ask you, God, to fix those broken pieces, to make our lives into something beautiful. Lord, where we're worried because we're not strong, Lord, would you help us just to strip away that pride? As Taylor shared, Lord, would you help us to not be afraid of our weakness, but instead see it as an opportunity for you to make yourself known, to be strong in our situations. And Lord, finally, we pray that you would reignite in us a passion for you. Lord, your invitation is come near to me. Lord, may our response this morning be yes. May our response be yes, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, your word declares in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Lord, this morning we want to draw near to you. We want to draw near to your presence, near to you, God, because we believe that you are a good God. And that no matter what happens in our circumstances, no matter how broken we feel or how much of a warrior we don't feel like we are with our lives, God, we thank you that you choose to use broken things. You choose to use the weak to demonstrate your strength. And Lord, that no matter how dirty or dusty or tired we get on this journey of faith, this journey of life, God, you invite us to come and talk with you. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be like that little child, that we would run into your arms and discover the truth that you love us. Maybe we already know it, but we'd be reminded of it afresh today. Lord, would you remind us of that truth? We want to draw near to you. God, this morning I pray that you'd give us boldness and strength and courage to hold nothing back. That just as those pools referenced in the book of Psalm 84, Lord, that you'd help us to jump in holding nothing back from you. It's so easy to put on a facade or to pretend like we're okay when we're not. But Lord, you see straight through our disguises. You see through the things that we use to cover ourselves up. You see us for who we are. So Lord, this morning we pray that you'd help us to strip away every distraction, every covering in our lives, everything that we would try and hold back. Let us jump in with both feet. Lord, this morning, if we've been tiptoeing around the pool, I pray that you'd give us confidence and boldness to jump in with both feet and just be with you, God. We thank you, Lord, for that word. Help us to do that. Help us to draw near to you. And finally, this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, I don't ever want to leave an opportunity. If you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never taken the very first step of faith. We're talking about jumping into the pool, but perhaps you've never taken the first step of faith, and that is to receive the free love of God. You've never said yes to Jesus' gift of grace. Jesus paid the price, as Taylor so clearly shared. We're broken and in need of Savior, and Jesus paid the price. But Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with it here. And in a moment, I want to make an opportunity for you to do that, for you just to say, I want to receive the free love of God. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Is that you? Will you say yes to Jesus today? If that's you and you say, I need Jesus for forgiveness for my past. I need power for my present. I need hope for my tomorrow. With every head bowed and eye closed across this room, that's you. You say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to jump in today. Would you lift up your hand and let our eyes meet so I can agree with you in prayer? I always want to make room. Anyone in this place today, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone here? We thank you, Lord, for your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good. Lord, we thank you for the reminders today that you're a God who cares about us, that you're not far off and far out and distant from us, but you're a God who draws near to us. Lord, as we look at the cross, may we be reminded of your invitation. And your invitation is simple. Come and talk with me. Lord, may we do that today. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, I feel like the appropriate response is to stand and worship. Would you stand and worship as Pastor Kyle and the team lead us? Let's worship.